Good morning, church. So glad to be here with you all today. As Dixon mentioned, we're going to start a new series today called Blessed to Bless. So this will be a three-part series. And today we'll be starting with Blessed to Bless, Blessed Singles. And then next week, Brother Casey will be taking Blessed Parents and Children. And subsequently, April will conclude with Blessed Marriage. So I guess it's very obvious why Pastor decided to ask me to preach for Blessed Singles, as considering that I have been 31 years singles in the past and just got married last year, and therefore, experience-wise, I'm not qualified to preach on Blessed Marriage and also parenting. Okay, so let us pray before we explore what it means to be blessed. To bless. Our Father in heaven, as we are here today to worship you, we thank you for goodness and love in our lives, that you have chosen us to be your children. And we thank you that we are now one big spiritual family in Christ. Thank you too for the family you have given us, our parents, siblings, relatives. Lord, we pray that your word will speak to us, help us to see how blessed we are, and how we can be a blessing, not just to our family and spiritual family, but to all the families of the earth. May your Holy Spirit anoint your child to speak your word correctly and with clarity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you think that all of us here are so blessed to be the children of God? Amen. We are blessed not so that we can keep all the blessings to ourselves, but so that we can be a blessing to others. But what does it mean to be blessed to bless? So we shall explore this together. First, let's go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and look at God's promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you I will curse. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed." So here we see that Abraham, who is now still known as Abram, was called by the Lord to leave his home and family to the promised land that the Lord will eventually show him in Canaan. So why did God ask him to leave behind his family and his homeland? From verse 2, we know that God wants to bless Abraham so that he will be a blessing, that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so what did Abraham do? If you read on in verse 4, Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Basically, Abraham obeyed God's word. So this is not just the only incident in the Bible where we see Abraham's obedience to God. Remember the story of the sacrifice of Isaac, where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Again, what did Abraham do? He obeyed. Despite Isaac being his only son, the son of his old age, he obeyed God without question. And what then happened when Abraham obeyed? In Genesis 22, verse 17 to 18, the Lord said to Abraham, "I will surely bless you, and I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So because Abraham obeyed God, God promised in return that he will continue to bless Abraham. And not just him, but also his offspring. And in his offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. How marvelous is the abundant blessings of God. So from these stories, there's two things that I would like to point out. First, there is a relationship between our obedience and being blessed. And secondly, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. We said that though it is God who out of grace took the initiative to call Abraham to bless him, Abraham in response chose to obey in faith God's word. And because of that obedience, God promised that he will bless Abraham. And not just to bless him so that he can enjoy all the goodness of life and boast about how good his life is, but Abraham is blessed so that he can be a greater blessing to others. And in fact, through him and his offspring, all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So fast forward from Old Testament to New Testament, we see that indeed this promise of blessing has now been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is Abraham's offspring, lived a perfect sinless life and perfectly obeyed all the commandments given by God. Jesus obeyed God even to the point of dying on the cross to atone for our sins. And because of that perfect obedience, he has reconciled us with God the Father and became a blessing to all the nations of the earth. So what does this then mean to all of us? In Acts chapter 3, verses 25 to 26, Peter said, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." So God has sent Jesus Christ to bless us today by turning us away from our wickedness and God's wrath. We are therefore blessed children of God. It doesn't matter if you are young or old, single or married, you are blessed indeed. Yes, it is true that the Bible states that blessed is the man who finds a virtuous wife and those who are blessed with many children. But what is important is to understand and be reminded that we are blessed first and foremost because we are children of God. In Galatians 3:29, it says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, as according to promise." So friends, as Christians, we too are identified as Abraham's offspring. We too are heirs to the promise of blessing. And as Abraham's offspring, we too are called to be a blessing to all nations. Now, what do we see here? Okay, it's a cup filled with water. Now, the purpose of the cup is not just to hold the water so the water stays inside the cup. The very reason we fill the cup with water is so that we can serve the water to quench someone's thirst. Now, imagine that we are this very cup, and the water is God's blessing. So as God fills us with blessing, we are not just to let the blessings be contained inside us like the water in the cup. Instead, we are to use the blessing to bless others and help those in need. We are chosen by God not just to be the recipient of his grace and blessings. We are also chosen to be his instruments of grace and blessing to others. Now, you don't have to worry about running out of God's grace and blessing by giving it to others. Because Psalm 23 reminds us that if the Lord is our shepherd, our cup will be overflowed with his blessings, and he will lavishly provide us all that we need. Now, I'm not calling all of us to become missionaries, to go all around the world and share the gospel to all the people of the nations, that you may be a blessing to them. Of course, this is needed. But today, we'll be talking about blessed singles. So let's look at how we can be a blessing as singles in our family, both our blood and spiritual family, and also the community we live in. So in order to be a blessing, we need to know and fulfill our calling as Christian. We need to know our God-given mission. So as we mention every day, what is Every Nation Church mission? We exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, spirit and power, socially responsible churches and campus ministry in every nation. So nowadays, we see that mission statements are so important. Every institution, whether it's big or small, profit, non-profit, private, public, each of them have their very own mission statement. But as Christians, we are followers of Christ. We do not simply make up our own mission statement however we like. Our mission statement is always based on the authoritative word of God, the Bible. It is God who gives us our mission in life. It is God's mission, in fact. It's not the church mission. The church mission derives its mission from God's mission. And in all that we do, we need to obey Him. So today I would like to highlight two aspects of our God-given mission and how singers can live a purposeful and fruitful life as we fulfill our God-given mission and be a blessing to others. So Genesis 18, verse 9 reads, "For I have chosen him," here referring to Abraham, "that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." First, we are to be a blessing by walking in God's way. So when you read the Bible, it says, walk in the way of the Lord. What does it mean to you? And what images do you have in your mind? Now, you may have thought of one of these images or even both of them. So in the very first image, we see footsteps on the left. Remember the series that we have earlier 2 months ago? We have the footsteps of Jesus. So in one aspect, walking in the way of the Lord means that we need to observe what Jesus did and imitate him carefully. So if Jesus washes the feet of his disciples out of humility and love, we do likewise. If Jesus bears the cross, then we too have to bear our own cross. We are always looking to Jesus as our perfect role model. Now, the second image is a map for navigation. Walking in the way of the Lord also means that we follow the direction and path that God has instructed us so that we are always on the right path to where God wants us to go and according to how He wants us to go. This is like when we are trying to navigate to somewhere unfamiliar. We'll use Waze or Google Maps to direct us so that we don't get lost and we reach the destination on time. So God has given us this instruction, direction, and commands through the Bible to direct us as we live our lives here on earth. And if you read the Bible, you will see that God's commands are not just arbitrary rules, but they frequently reflect the character or values of God. So as we walk in the way of the Lord, we reflect God's characters, His goodness, love, and faithfulness in and through our daily life and point the people around us to God. As we see in Genesis 18 earlier, God chose Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. So for God to bless Abraham and his descendants, they must keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. So to all singles out here, and in fact to everyone, two things we must bear in mind again. First, our righteousness and holiness matters to God. We have been set apart for God's purposes and to be a blessing for others. We are to be a model in this fallen world that we are living in. Second, as we have read in the verse, Abraham is to command his children and descendants to keep the way of the Lord, so that we are not just to keep the way of the Lord ourselves, we are to teach others the way of the Lord. As singles, We do not yet have children, but there are still many opportunities out there for us to disciple others. You can teach and disciple your siblings, cousins, nieces, nephews, and also those from the spiritual family in the church. So we have Kids Church, Teens, Campus, and also LG. You can always contact Dixon here, and for Campus, you can contact Darren if you would like to help in discipling others. So as long as there are people who are willing to learn, we can teach, regardless of how young or old they are. So friends, although we may not be able to perfectly obey God's word because only Jesus can, we must sincerely obey God's word by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. We must confess and repent of our sin whenever we sin against the Lord. In a world full of wickedness, oppression and violence, perverted sexuality, idolatry, pride and greed, we are called to keep the way of the Lord. We are called to be different from others. Bear in mind that the choices we make in life, especially those ethical choices, affects our effectiveness in fulfilling our mission. It is never just a matter of me, my conscience, and God. The moment we fail to walk in the way of the Lord, or fail to live our lives with righteousness and justice, not only do we affect our personal relationship with God, but we are also in a way hindering God in keeping His promise of blessing. So I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Joseph in Genesis. Joseph was sold to Egypt by his brother because of their jealousy. He then became a very successful man in charge of everything in his master's house, Potiphar. However, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and when she failed to do so, because Joseph feared the Lord, she accused him and he was then sent to the jail. But by God's grace and providence, Joseph's ability to interpret the dreams made him the second most powerful person in Egypt and saved many. And this includes his own family from the famine. Now, imagine, what if Joseph had failed when he was seduced by Potiphar's wife? He would then have sinned against the Lord and probably killed by Potiphar out of anger. Now, what happens next? Probably everyone would die during the famine, including the Israelites. And if there is no Israel, how then can we have Jesus, who is the seed of Abraham and Israel? Yes, God is indeed omniscient and omnipotent. He is able to do wonders and miracles, and His plan will definitely not fail. And yet, God in His wisdom ordained that His plan will be hinged on Joseph's godliness. This shows us how important it is for us to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that we can enjoy God's blessings and also be a blessing to others. Moving on to the second aspect, we see that our God-given mission is that we are to be a blessing by living and working in our very community. When we think about Christian mission, often we think of missionaries who cross borders to overseas to preach the gospel and plant churches. But God's mission is way bigger than that. God has created the world for humans to live and work in it. So just as much as God is interested in us walking in His way, He is also interested in how we are fulfilling our God-given mission through our work and our interaction with our community. Family, friends, colleagues, anyone around us, we are to glorify God in everything we do, even in our secular jobs, in our interactions with our community, and every single aspect of our life. Now, I'm sure that we always hear people complaining about their jobs, even I did. But as Christian, how should we see our work? Are we working just because it's a normal course of life? Or do we see it as a necessary evil where we work just because we need to earn a living? And if given a choice, we'd rather not work. How do we relate to what we do in our daily life? And what the Bible has taught us? What does the Bible taught us about human responsibility in God's creation and society? Although the work may be tough at times, difficult bosses and colleagues, overtime high workloads, we need to bear in mind that work itself is not a curse resulted from the fall in the Garden of Eden. Work is tough because of our sins, yes. But as humans, we are in fact created to be workers just like God himself is a worker. So no matter how difficult our jobs may be, as long as you are still alive taking on the work, it has to be complete. It has to be completed with integrity and transparency. God does not just create the world. He does not just provide the work. He audits our work, and we will be held accountable to him for our everyday work. Besides that, we are also created to engage with the world created by God. God has positioned each and every one of us in a different position and roles to serve our community. It doesn't matter what our job position may be. You can be a teacher, a doctor, lawyer, engineer, salesman, janitor, operator, or even a slave. We are called to serve our community in our workplaces. You may think that only those who are professionals might be contributing to the society at large, but that is not true. Everyone can serve at his or her given capacity. Now, take, for example, the story of Daniel in the Bible. Who is Daniel? Daniel started as a prisoner, taken by an invader, and was part of a despised ethnic minority in an enemy land. So, most of us here are foreigners. We do not truly belong to Malaysia. But, of course, most of us here are Malaysian citizens. But in a sense, we are not the major ethnic in the country. Despite all that, he was still able to serve Babylon and ultimately became a high-ranking officer in the Babylonian Empire. So how did Daniel do that? First, Daniel accepted the realities of the community he became part of. He was taken to a foreign land and accepted a massive degree of cultural adjustment. He accepted a Babylonian name, Babylonian education, and according to their language, and he entered into Babylonian employment. Secondly, Daniel worked constructively and conscientiously for the government and for social benefit. He served the Babylonian Empire as well, so well that even his political enemies could not find fault with him. It is written in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, that then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error of fault was found in him. Thirdly, Daniel preserved his integrity despite living in a foreign land. He did not defile himself with the king's food, and later he refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image because that would be idolatry. So similarly, whenever we are, whatever position we are in, we can serve our community by accepting and adjusting to the realities of the communities that we are part of. And we are to work constructively and conscientiously and preserve our integrity at all times. Now, apart from serving the community, we should always keep our community in prayer. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, the Israelite exiles are commanded to seek the welfare of the city that they have been exiled and to pray for them. God is asking the exiles to pray even for their enemies that is among them. That means that no matter what circumstances we are in or what we are always to pray for the community around us, seeking their welfare and blessings from God. Friends, you need to believe that you're always in the good hands of God. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in positions that are less than ideal or far too overwhelming for us to handle. But always remember that God is in control and He has a purpose for us, just like the story of Joseph and Daniel. When we choose to live faithfully and differently as Christians, people around us will be attracted to us. But not just us, but to the God whom we believe in, and through that we become a blessing to others. Let us be the salt of light of the world that points others to God, the greatest blessing one can have in life, for He is the source, the giver of all good things in life. Now, to all Christian singles who are out there, I know that many of you are seeking to be in a relationship. Technically speaking, everyone is a single until you are married. But here we are speaking specifically to Christian singles who are not in a relationship. As you are in a season of waiting for God to bring you your life partner, I want to encourage all of you that you are not alone in the garden as is Adam before God made Eve. You are not to live alone just because you are single, but instead there's the whole community of Christian believers here in this church that will love, encourage, and support you. So it is important that even as singles, you live your life to the fullest and focus on carrying out your God-given mission. Trust that God has a plan for you and that His plan is always best for you. Next, we come to 1 Corinthians 7, a passage filled with wisdom of the principles for marriage. However, we'll be only focused on verse 17 to 24. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Verse 20. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bond servant when called? Do not be condemned about it. Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bond servant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bond servant of Christ. You are bought with a price. Do not become bond servants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. The main point of this passage is that we are to live as we are called. God has called each of us and placed us in different circumstances to serve Him. In whatever circumstances we are in, we are to focus on keeping the commandments of God and bear the fruit of love as a new creation in Christ. But this does not mean that Christians should not attempt to improve their social or economic standing. And as for the singles, it is not wrong to look for your life partner. But as Paul assures, even as singles, we can live to God's glory and walk with God. To my dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are still singles and not in relationship, do not worry about being single and spend your energy, emotion, and attention solely to find your life partner. Paul tells us not to trouble ourselves about a situation that cannot be changed by us, and we should not be obsessed with it. Our dissatisfaction and complaint can be fatal spiritually, as they may reflect a lack of confidence and trust in God. As I have said in the beginning, every one of us here is blessed, including the singers, for we were bought with a price. Christ has died for us that we may become God's children and be blessed. At the same time, the implication is that we are no longer our own, but belong to our Redeemer who gave himself for us, both our body and soul. If we truly understood our privileged position in Christ, and realize that just as slavery cannot change, cannot damage our privileged position in Christ, then singlehood cannot do so. We are his beloved, not lacking anything, and we must not become slaves of men or slaves of our own thoughts and desires to have a husband or wife. As most of you know, I just got married last year, and I've been single for the past 31 years of my life, and in fact, I've never been in a relationship until last year. So Mani was actually the only one person I've dated in my whole life, and yeah, she's my wife today. So I could have struggled and argued with God, but I continued to serve when I was a doctor in the hospital and also in the church, despite failing to find a girlfriend. So I knew that I knew my calling as a Christian, and I pressed on. Now, I'm not saying that I did well. I too have fallen short in many ways as a son, a doctor, and also an LG leader or a coach. However, knowing that I am truly blessed in Christ, having experienced his abounding mercy and grace in my life, there is no excuse for me not to hit God's call. I think Christian singles, not all of them, but often they try to bargain with God. They say, like, hey God, if you give me a wife, you give me a husband, I'll do this, I'll do that for you. Or they try to turn the other way around. They said, let's do this and that for God. I will serve God, I will help people, I will take a checklist of good work, and then thinking that God in return will bless them. Dear friends, they often end up with bitterness and disappointment. In fact, many of them left the church. Do not attempt to do so with our God who is sovereign, but only pray that God's will be done. As I was contemplating and preparing myself for seminary, I did ask myself, how am I going to have a girlfriend? So I said, oh, maybe I can find one in the seminary, isn't it? Yeah. And then I met Mani before I left. So before I confessed to her, I prayed that may God's will be done. My special condition for her was that she has to accept the very fact that I'll be going to seminary and serve full-time in the ministry in the future. If she did not agree, I would still proceed without her and go on to seminary nevertheless. And praise God, Mani was willing, and here we are today. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come to the end of our sermon, I want to challenge all of us, especially those who are still singers, having blessed by God, to live a life to the fullest by becoming a blessing to others around you. Not just to your in your family, but also in the church and in the community that you live in. Let us not only be the recipient of God's grace and blessing, but also be God's instrument of grace and blessing. If knowing God is our greatest joy in life, then our second greatest joy should be walking in God's way and serving Him, blessing others by making God known to them. Loving God can never be separated from loving our neighbors. And to those who have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I urge you to come, confess, and repent your sins, that you too may be in Christ by faith, by grace through faith. You too can be blessed and be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you come here today, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that the word became flesh, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we may be called blessed, blessed indeed in you, to be your children. And we know that we have a mission. We are to be a blessing to others by walking in your ways and to show them, the people around us, to you, Lord. Lord, none of this is possible on our own. And all these are made possible because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. Lord, today I want to pray for every single one of us, especially the singles, that Lord, you will use them mightily to be a blessing to others. We pray that you will provide them everything that they need. We pray that for those who are sick, you will heal them. For those who are weak, you will strengthen them. For those who are grieving, you will comfort them. You will make your presence known to them. And for those who are doubtful, assure them with your word. Lord, as we go today, return to our daily life, let us go in the peace and joy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who love you, Lord, and your people by serving them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.